addressing a particular political issue of his day, and the disciples would have been aware of this. He's talking to them about how it is appropriate for believers to deal with the powers oppressing their world. And as I say, the disciples would have known this, and so they would have understood what he was trying to teach them. So let me give you a little review of some things that you may remember. There were three primary factions within the political world of Jesus' time in Jerusalem. There were also religious factions, because in those days there was no separation between the two. The political world, the religious world, were totally inseparable, as is becoming more and more the case in our modern America within the Christian world. The Sadducees, which included the priests, the Levites, and those who worked around the temple, believed that it was necessary to make certain accommodations to the Roman government in order to maintain their influence in the areas where they still had some control. So these leaders of the people, as they're frequently referred to in the scriptures, sometimes bent their standards a little bit in order to accommodate the Romans and not create problems. They were doing pretty well, and they didn't want to irritate the Romans and unsettle their spheres of influence. They were in some ways like some of the conservative church in our modern world, willing to make accommodations to the powers and principalities with regard to some questionable behavior so that they could maintain their influence in other issues that were important to them, that are important to them. Now, at the other extreme, we had the Zealots. The Zealots were promoting rebellion against Rome in an attempt to reclaim the land that God had promised to them and to once again be one nation under God only, with no loyalties to any earthly powers. Now, this in some ways are kind of like the idealistic, radical activism of some of the liberal church today. Want to overthrow all of those things that get in the way of religious freedom. And then in the middle were the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were a splintered group, but they had two primary ways of approaching the Roman government. There were some Pharisees who endorsed resistance against Rome, particularly in those areas where the Romans interfered with the strict practice of the faith. Taking a stand against interference with religious freedom, although mostly nonviolent, and so only marginally effective. Now, there were other Pharisees who sought to avoid conflict with the political powers, and so advocated separation from the Roman-dominated world and clustering together in ghettos where they could practice their faith without any interference, because nobody really too much cared what they did in that environment. So they avoided the world. In this context, Jesus told his disciples, "You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." You are, in this context, is plural. It's not just a call to individual piety. It was a call to community action. Together, as you live out your faith under God, you are the light of the world, and you are the salt that has the power to change the whole flavor of the world. Now, this is not just a call to action. Go out and let your light shine. It was also a statement of fact. You are the light of the world. Your light will be seen for good or for ill. It's not a matter of being light or not being light. It's a matter of what kind of light you're going to be. And it also carries a warning. If you lose your distinctiveness, your saltiness, there's no way to get it back. And salt that has lost its flavor is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It might melt snow, but you all remember snow, right? Then Jesus said, in what is really the introduction to next week's lesson. And for the younger crowd, it's the prequel. Do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Jesus wanted the church. They weren't calling themselves the church yet, but it was really the beginning of the Christian church. Jesus wanted the church to know that if you align yourself with the political forces that are morally lost in an attempt to keep your power, claiming our ends justify their means, your influence becomes tainted and you lose your flavor as salt. But at the same time, Jesus is also warning them and us that even if you are willing to burn down everything in the name of taking a righteous stand, but are not able to replace what you have burned with something of value, your light will burn out in a blaze of glory and you will be lost in the ashes. And then I believe that Jesus wants us to know that if we seek to keep our hands clean by hiding behind these walls and avoiding the political realities of the world around us, we are trying to hide our light under a basket. But our inaction will not be hidden, and we will be seen as irrelevant. Our involvement, our means, must be as lofty as our ends. How we do what we do is almost as important as what we do. It's not quite as important. If we feed the hungry for a bad reason, that's still a good thing. For the hungry, it may not be good for us. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "True peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice." I believe that Jesus is saying something very similar here. True law-keeping is not merely the absence of any overt violation of the letter of the law, it is the presence of a righteous commitment to keeping the spirit of the law. If you do the right things for the wrong reasons, you cannot call yourself a lawkeeper. It's not enough to tell the truth if you allow mischaracterizations, lies, and slander to go unanswered. It is not enough to say that your family never owned slaves and that you do not participate in overt acts of oppression if you do not acknowledge your privilege and work to abolish the systemic forces of racism and oppression. It's not enough to give alms to the poor and to pray for them if you do not work for a world that has more economic justice for all people. It's not enough to tolerate those who are different. Those children of God, your brothers and sisters in Christ, if the light of God's love is not shining on them through you in a world that they see as darkness. When Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, I have not come to abolish but fulfill," he was saying, merely observing the letter of the law is no longer considered true law keeping. Actively pursuing the spirit of the law is law keeping. Your light shine. Now, the bad news is that we, like many in Jesus' day, have come to accept the law as the limits of bad behavior, the standard for conviction. "Thus far you may go, but no further, for thus it is written in the law." But now the law has been fulfilled. God knows the heart, and we are seen by our motives and known by our love, and not just our strict keeping of the rules. The law is no longer the limit of bad behavior, but it is a roadmap showing us the direction of righteous living. not limiting how far we can go and separating ourselves from one another, but a means by which we are united in the light of God's love. Keeping the letter of the law is personal, and it can be done, and perhaps is better done, in private. If it were only avoiding doing things wrong, we could do that very comfortably in our own prayer closets, never talking or interacting with anyone else. But together, we are to be about keeping the spirit of the law. True righteous living, following Jesus, is a public and communal and political activity. Together, we are a city built on a hill, and when our light shines, we can change the world and build the kingdom of our God. Jesus did not do away with the law. We are still to do what we know to be right in our own hearts. That's our personal lives. But Jesus fulfilled the law, calling us into the love for others in our lives together that is the spirit of the law, reaching out to one another in love and promoting justice. This builds a world where we celebrate diversity rather than judging those who are different from us, even those who see the law differently, and building a world where all people are free to work together for a life that is better for all. We can only do this together, but it does start one little light at a time. So let the love of Jesus shine through you, on us, so that it may shine through us until the world and its darkness is overcome. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith together.